950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday, June 19th. Good to be with you here today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, I have to just say this. It's easy living on the West Side. I mean, last year was my nightmare year for construction. They had 169 shut down because of the Nine Mile Creek Causeway rebuild. And so that was my nightmare year. This is unbelievable what they're doing downtown right now. I mean, it's every freaking road anywhere within like five blocks of 35W from, I'm going to guess, from like Lake Street up to the downtown is just, it's closed down or single lane. It's a mess.
How can they, like, for 3 years just have one exit that goes downtown? That's just nuts.
Because it's design. And I can say this, I mean, nothing against the fine folks at MnDOT. You guys, you know, for many years couldn't design an interchange to save your caboose. Give you a great example of this. They on 169, as you came up from the river, they used to have traffic lights at Old Shakopee Road, Pioneer Trail, Anderson Lakes Parkway, and then 169.
I used to live in that area. Yeah, very familiar.
They got rid of three of them and left the one there. So what they did is got rid of, you know, four quarter-mile backups and put 1 5-mile backup in there. Well done. How about 394? You're heading eastbound into the metro area. The largest freaking city in the state. It's two lanes as you cross into the Minneapolis border. It's four in Wayzata. Who designed this thing? You know, my personal favorite was the amount of times that they just, you know, because I don't know if they were just trying to say we're a small town or what, but that lane, they didn't continue the lane. So the lane was, it was really only a two-lane road. Because they kept having the access lane, which was supposedly the third lane, kept turning into an exit ramp or an entrance ramp. It was never continuous.
My favorite still was, why would they ever put a stoplight on 169 and 494 when the rest of that is all freeway?
Well, it was because what happens is people start thinking too much.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's, well, you know, there's 60 people over here that you know, they live right here. I mean, it wouldn't be nice if we kind of kept the traffic down to a minimum so it's not a major highway. Well, there's 6,000 people that are using that interchange every freaking day, every morning, and then every afternoon. So, you know, it's like the Bryn Mawr. For many years, 394, when you headed towards the east, once you got to Penn Avenue, condensed down to two lanes, and that thing was backed up well into Wayzata every day. You know, it was nightmarish. And the idea was like, so, well, we don't want the people in Bryn Mawr to get upset. Well, yeah, good. We're going to anger 10,000 people to make sure 100 people are fine. And it just, it's a major city. And this is like when I ripped on the 101 people out there in Wayzata when 394 dumps out to their highway. They're the ones that scream for US 12 to get upgraded to Interstate 394, which they did do. But that when the natural evolution of development comes with it, aka they need 101 developed into a larger road because it becomes the alternate north-south road, then all of a sudden they bunch of NIMBY snowflakes who are out there, not in my backyard. You put a bike trail in here, there are going to be all sorts of heathens in here. Bikers. Bikers, you idiots. Stop it. But, you know, they went back and they tried to label it Historic Bushaway Road, like that if they basically went back to the 1800s name for the road, that would somehow stop the growth. No, you can rename 35W Huckleberry Lane all damn day long. It's still a major highway, okay? You, if you don't want to live there, for God's sakes, it's a big lake. Move to another side of it. You know, this is not rocket science. Well, we got to think about that one family that's got that one big house. All right, sure. There's a lack of planning here, which is unbelievable. That interchange, as long as they fix it. Remember when they had Molnow wanted to shut down the Crosstown Commons for 3 years, just basically reopen it with the same amount of lanes? Remember? Yes. Or 5 years. It was 5 years. She was going to, we're going to shut this down for 5 years, and then when we reopen it, it'll be the exact same problem. Good thinking. No, they seem to have woken up to these design flaws that, you know, we are a major metropolitan area and this quaint quirkiness doesn't work. All right, stop it. So, you know, you still, though, have a major interchange with the Washington Avenue Bridge has got to come out. They're getting rid of the 24th, aren't they? I think the 24th is coming out, too. But I was just on the 36th. You need to get that one replaced now, too, because, you know, what's the point? What's the point of you not replacing that bridge at this point? You're already making it a nightmare on 35W. Make it one nightmare, not in 5 years reshutting down 35W because you got to fix the 36 bridge. I'm just saying. It just, you got to think this stuff through. And, I mean, there clearly is, and I saw this last year when they were doing the construction on 169, there clearly is a lot of lack of communication between municipal, county, and state and federal transportation projects. Because it would always blow my mind that you'd come up and then there was construction on the secondary roads, which are the main detour around the main construction. I've not seen it this bad, and maybe it's just because it is that major intersection. Hopefully they get it fixed. But just do this. Don't do it on the cheap. Don't do it on the fly. Don't shut it down and then still have the same design flaws in it. Fix the damn thing. We don't mind you doing it. Just fix it. Okay? You can shut it down for 5 years. Fix it. Make it work better. Don't just have the same amount of lanes going and we repaved it. Really? Great. Great. Good thinking. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. As a guy that used to do traffic, you really do need to put especially anything – any major highway within the 494, 694 loop needs an extra lane on it right now. I would make an argument 494, 694 actually probably needs another lane as well already. And then you should be thinking about designing the next loop around the metro area completely because you're going to need to do that. It's called the city design. I love Sims. It's great. Now, have you ever played that? It's just I love that, man. My civilization.
Is it SimCity or?
Yeah, SimCity. Love that, man. SimCity, you go out there, you build it until they all rise up against you, you know, because, you know, you're adult. That's why Trump doesn't play it anymore. But, I mean, it's if we could only have the free will of a computer game. 952-946-6205. Philando Castile, if you get a chance, go to MIA, Minneapolis Institute of Arts. That's where I was at today. That's why I was down in that quagmire. They've got a small little display of artwork inspired by Philando Castile in the days and the tragedy after his shooting, which is absolutely wonderful. And I just want to congratulate the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. I know that that probably was a art display, a show that you're putting on there that was probably going to get a lot of grief. And a lot of pushback, but you had the guts to do it, and you should, because you know what? It's stuff like that that helps people grieve, helps people understand. And when you think about the senseless tragedy of the loss of Philando Castile's life, which once again, he was murdered by a cop and they let him go. That's my personal opinion. What you gonna do? I know what the jury said, but you know, I saw the video evidence, I heard the audio. And he almost shot a kid in the back seat too. So, yeah. And by the way, has the NRA mentioned anything about that one yet? Anything? Nothing? No. All right. You have to allow people to grieve. And I'm sure the officers are all high-fiving each other saying, yeah, we got away with another one. But what you going to do? 952-946-6205. That's why I'm so upset about this drugging story. They're now the city council and the new chief of police are basically saying they're going to have this. I want – when you have police officers who are calling EMTs to a crime scene and ordering a ambulance tech to administer a sedative to a suspect just because you don't want to deal with him, I want one of those officers who made that call in sworn testimony to understand, was this your decision? If it was your decision, what made you think you could do that? Was this encouraged by the department? If it was, where did it come from? And I'm frankly, if I was to find out that you know, I would get pulled over for a traffic stop and all of a sudden because some officer just doesn't want to deal with me, drugs me up to make me easier to deal with so they can throw me in the paddy wagon, I'm going to tell you right now, you violated my civil rights. And I think there should be civil rights charges on this stuff. I really do. I think you can't have a police department that is that callous, that is that out of control, that they think that I'll show you, we'll just get him and drug him now. He's not breathing. We'll revive him while he's back. We'll then drug him again. Well, he's still not breathing again. We'll revive him. What kind of police department does that? I am there are people that need, in my personal opinion, some people need to go to jail on this. Think about this. You had police officers ordering medical professionals to drug people to make them easier to deal with. People that hadn't committed a crime. Some of those people nearly died because of the drug administered, because the police officer, medical professional, had no idea what in the world would have happened with this. They just, that wasn't a medical professional. They didn't know there was going to be a bad reaction from the drug, but they ordered it. I mean, someone needs to go to jail. Listen to me. Someone needs to go to jail on this. This is a civil rights violation, which is not something you can sweep aside. But in the day and age where an officer can basically gun down an innocent person for no reason outside of, I was scared, I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know if we're ever going to get any kind of real justice on this. I just, is there anyone out there who would say, you know what, I was okay when I got pulled over for the minor traffic violation and then they ordered the medic professionals to drug me? Is there anyone out there? And before anyone says, well, if you weren't doing a crime, there were people that were basically drugged that hadn't done any crimes. And thank God the medical professionals were there, because when the drug stopped their hearts or they stopped breathing, well, they had to be revived. That is the scariest thing. And I tell you, I was driving home. I was driving out of the MIA. I was driving up on Lindale Avenue to go catch 394 West. And right next to me is a police officer. And I got to tell you the truth. I was scared. I got to tell you, I'm going to be dead serious. I was scared. Big white guy. I was scared. You're going to drag me out of the car and order some ambulance guy to drug me? You're gonna just shoot first and ask questions later, or just say, he was a big white guy, I was scared. Note to self, if you are scared, then you should not be a police officer. Because, let's face it, we depend on police officers to be brave in times of crisis. Not to, This is not my doing. This is not my irrational feelings. This is not me out of control. This is my natural reaction after seeing what has been going on for a while. And whether it's gunning down a middle-aged Australian woman in an alley who calls because they're trying to be the Good Samaritan, or it's basically, you know, trying to do the San Diego remover on Jamar Clark. Remember that one? And yeah, I don't know what to do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Tell Randy in Coon Rapids to hold. I'll chat with him when I get done with the break here, okay? I'll be interested to see what his opinion is on this. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows nobody loves summer more than us Minnesotans. We also love being smart with our money, which is why during June we're offering our AC Performance tune-up for $25 off. We're also offering savings of $700 on new AC systems. It all adds up to a lot of reasons to love summer even more. Call for an appointment and spend the season in cool comfort. Some restrictions apply. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating, the comfort you deserve.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about what makes for an idealist. I'll also share about getting hired for my first real job where I could finally be my true idealistic self. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, with me going on vacation starting after the show here, Stein going to join us today this hour. We're going to talk politics with him coming up in just a bit. 952-946-6205. Randy is in Coon Rapids, and he wanted to chime in on the police drugging story. Hey, Randy, how are you feeling? How's the recovery going?
Well, I'm getting better. It's slow. I mean, it's slower than watching paint dry. And here, I wanted to call and light you up because I figure you're going to be talking about the immigration thing, but we'll have to save that for another day because as soon as I flipped the radio on, I heard you talking about that drug, Catamaran, that they were given. They want to give, or they have been giving, or want to give, or whatever.
No, they've been giving it. They were giving it. They apparently called. I mean, when you have someone who's like really wildly irrational, that there is apparently a procedure that you can administer this. And up until like 2012, only 3 times in the year with reviews was the drug administered. But it got to a point where it was 60 some times.
Over 60, I think, in one year.
Is 60 times in 1 year. So it is a 3,000 or no, it's far more than that. An incredible increase in usage by the police department. And someone has to explain why the heck that was going on.
No, I can speak from experience on this because when I fell and broke my femur, that was the drug they gave me. And had I known she said, well, you approved for pain medication. I'm like, well, I think you gave me too much. You shouldn't be giving that drug to anyone. I mean, and until you've been on that drug, oh, mama, I'm telling, all I saw, I seriously thought I was dying because all I saw was out the back of the window. Everything was blurry except for this tunnel down the middle. And it was so weird. I was so like out of my mind. I was asking the gal in the ambulance, I said, can you hear me talking? Because I was talking it was like my brain had no recognition that she could hear that I was actually talking. That's how messed up this drug was. And then I found out when I was in the hospital, they usually only give that drug to people that are in severe trauma. And I thought, well, I didn't think I was in severe trauma. It's very rare that they actually, and I got a friend of mine, he's in the medical field, and when he found out they gave me that drug, he was really surprised that they gave me that drug. It's a horse tranquilizer is what it is.
Well, and one of the things we should put in perspective here is Randy had a serious injury, and they gave him this pain medication. That's not what's going on with these police department cases where they were giving this. They just didn't like the fact that the person was, giving them lip by the sounds of it, and so they ordered the EMTs to start drugging them with, horse tranquilizers, which in some cases stop their breathing and stop their heart, so the medical professionals had to revive them.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. This shouldn't even be a discussion. I mean, I can't even believe that we're having to have this conversation. This is one of those far out there things that you'd think would just never happen in this country. And I don't care what the person's doing. There is no cop that should be telling them, hey, you need to give, the police are not medical people.
They're not.
They should not. And you don't know what these people's medical history are. You could kill them.
Randy, the thing which is really interesting is when we brought this up, if you wonder if there are issues which still do bring people together, I've had more far right Republicans say, yeah, this is crossing some serious lines, that we should not have a police department that just administers drugs willy nilly. And that you can say they're ordering an EMT to do it. They're administering drugs. They're making the order for an EMT to do it. They're making the decision. And I know a lot of Republicans who have come up to me and said, yeah, this is, you and I agree on this. This should never be going on.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, if you ever were on that drug, I mean, I seriously, when I was laying in there, I thought this was it. This is how I'm dying. Because I seriously thought I wasn't going to make it to the hospital. I thought I was dying. I had no idea that's what they gave me, and that was what the effects were going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no pre-warning at all that, hey, we're going to give you some pain medication. You're not going to feel much. Things might get a little blurry. I didn't get none of that. They just shot it up, and I'm wondering what's going on. And it happened so fast that it was almost like I felt like I was trying to fight it to go like, hey, slow this down. Why is this happening? You know, and I was already in enough trauma with the broken bone and stuff. And then to have this happening, yeah, they should not, man. Man, we shouldn't even be having this conversation.
We shouldn't. We absolutely shouldn't.
They gotta stop that.
All right. Hey, you heal up. Listen in. I got Stein. I'll make sure I rip on your point of view when it comes to the immigration stuff here in just a little bit, okay? But you heal up, I'll talk to you in a few weeks, okay?
All right. See ya.
Yep. Randy in Coon Rapids joining us. The rare case where, you know, like I said, this is an issue. I have heard more far-right Republicans agree with me on this and agree with most Democrats on this. You shouldn't be having police departments. I mean, just think about that brazenness of a police officer to basically order a medical procedure on a regular individual. And that's what you just did. You ordered a medical procedure. You ordered them to be drugged against their will. Wow. And sometimes they were doing it when they were handcuffed. I want to make sure I point out one other thing here too, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about this with Stein. It's interesting. China is actually starting, apparently, within China, they're starting to kick around the idea of something that would absolutely annihilate this country's economy. And that is that they respect intellectual property rights to a point. They do. They respect some international property property rights on products. So, like, you have your iPhone, right? They don't build the same version of the iPhone. And I know that they do this. I've said this story before, Brett. When I was 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, I went sailing in Ireland. I had a friend that had a boat, and he said, you want to come over? And so I went over. And one of the guys on the boat with me was a guy named Martin, and he used to sell industrial size equipment for large factory floors. And they would make these, you know, these very large pieces of equipment. Whenever his company would make a brand new piece of equipment, they would undeniably get a mysterious order within the first day. And they always could peg that to – it was China. China was buying it. They'd set up they'd buy even a factory, an empty factory in, like, you know, Belarus or something like that. They'd ship the product there. They'd immediately put it on a plane, fly it back to China, reverse engineer it. So dismantle it backwards, completely reverse engineer it. Build the exact same thing, only with cheaper steel, cheaper parts, and then offer it for one half the cost on the market within 3-4 months. I mean, it was insane. He said, we do this. He goes, it wasn't that bad because considering the nature of these machines, they're huge machines, lots of moving parts. The fact that the Chinese used inferior steel, the Chinese used inferior products, they were constantly breaking down. So your product generally still sold, but you still had to cut your price because people would, you know, they would, you know, it would take years for people to realize maybe I shouldn't have ordered the Chinese product. Well, the Chinese could basically shut down their respect of the international property rights for American companies and start building everything that the American companies have the rights to and sell it everywhere in the world, dirt cheap. And the rest of the world would be able to sell, they would be able to buy American products, only a Chinese version of them, dirt cheap. And the funny thing is, as you say, well, maybe that's good because we're going to have competition. No, you wouldn't be able to sell them here because we'd have tariffs against them. So they'd be more expensive here. That apparently is something that's now starting to be floated around by the Chinese, that they will actually, you know, get rid of this. If they do, our economy is gone for 30 years. I want to repeat that. If they do that, our economy's gone for 30 years. It was, you think the Great Depression was bad and, you know, lots of people died in the streets and the great, we had Hoover towns everywhere. You think the Great Depression was bad? Have China basically strip away and say, you know what, we're not going to sell the, we're going to make the cheap version of all the American products. We're not going to respect the World Trade Organization. We're not going to respect anyone's international property rights or trademarks. We're going to build the same exact products and we're going to basically say, and the heck with you. And there's not much you can do about it. Meanwhile, Chinese tariffs, speaking of which, the folks at Cargill are actually quite bothered by this. They're concerned that there's going to dramatically hurt their bottom line. I don't blame them. This is going to be an interesting election year. Mark my words. Republicans are going to spend a tremendous amount of time up in the Iron Range because they feel as if Trump's saber-rattling on steel, which has not actually helped the steel industry at all, has actually already hurt the steel industry, but at least he's singled it out. That the Republicans are feeling more and more like the Minnesota 8 is a friendlier territory. Meanwhile, watch the Democrats out in farm country. Because if you annihilate the agricultural trade, all of a sudden I don't think they're going to be voting red anymore out there. If you annihilate their crops and you get rid of their way of life, it will be a hard lesson for them to learn that they should have never trusted the Republicans in the first place. But, you know, it's going to be a lesson they're going to have learned. That's for sure. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come back. Stein, we'll talk another insane speech by Trump and then also talk about what's going on the border. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Twin Cities Pride Festival, the largest free pride celebration in the U.S., is coming Saturday and Sunday, June 23rd and 24th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Loring Park with 400 exhibitor booths, 40 food vendors, 4 stages with music, drag shows, and more. On Sunday, June 24th at 9:30 a.m., lace up your shoes for the Rainbow Run 5K starting at Boom Island in Minneapolis. Entrance is just $30 in advance, and you will get free admission to the beer garden and a free beer if you're 21 or over. And bring your race number to the Pride Festival. Prizes available for the best dressed participants. Go to tcpride.org for details and to register. At 11 a.m., the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade begins with 150 floats and parade entries. Come out to the parade for music, dance, rainbow everything, and an all-out celebration. Celebrate our accomplishments towards LGBT equality and feel the love. So many events, so be sure to see the entire schedule at Pride 2018 at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Indeed. Victor's is a fantastic place. Victor's 1959 Cafe. EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. If you get a chance to get over there, I will get over there at some point this week because of, I'm going to be going on vacation, but I'm staying in town for a good chunk. I do have to go up north where the bears are. Did you heard this? The bears are, there's tons of bears around nowadays.
Is the same bear that stole your cell phone a couple of years ago?
No, I don't. I don't know. Well, no, that was. I was. I don't think it took my cell phone. Maybe it did.
I thought that happened a few years ago, where you had some shenanigans with a bear go on.
Well, it's. I trust me. I have more bear shenanigans than I've. You know, you wouldn't think that I would. You know, it doesn't seem like it'd be something that would be an issue for most people. But between me and the rest of the wildlife, I seem to run into all these damn things. I've been told the place where we're going to be at up north, there's been numerous bear sightings lately, which is, it's fine as long as they don't, because I had a French fry 2 years ago that's half underneath the chair of my car. I hope they don't rip the door off my car. And it's my beautiful Toyota Sienna, which it's not designed for bears, FYI. Although I can only imagine what Vern is going to be basically posting up online later on today.
We kind of set him up.
I did. Anyway, but needless to say, when I am not going to be up there being harassed by bears, I will be here in the metro area. And I will be going around and enjoying my favorite things in town, including enjoying one of my favorite things, which is, of course, Victor's. Stop on by. It is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic breakfast, too, that really is just top-notch. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. No, mark my words. I really am of the mindset that you are going to see Republicans look at the Minnesota 8th District as far more friendly territory than going out into farm country. I really do feel that way at this point. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He is a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. Iowawatch.org is the top-notch public service show that he's part of down in Iowa. And, of course, KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo is where he's joining us from right now, a day early as we're going to go on vacation here. So, Jeff, thank you very much for accommodating. I do appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. But what's this wee stuff? I don't have my bags packed. What's this we're going on vacation? Because I'll go.
Oh, will you? Can you fight a bear? We might have some bear issues where I'm going to be going eventually here. So just be careful. If you can take down the bear, I think we're going to be fine.
I could get in on the team if I could take care of the bear. Okay.
You're in on the team. I want to make sure, because this carries on something you and I have been discussing for a while. Rudy Giuliani could possibly be the worst legal expert I've ever seen in my life. He now admits that FBI agents have interviewed him after the supposed DOJ investigation into the Comey firing, which, you know, once again, Trump kept saying, oh, this is going to prove that Hillary Clinton was horrible and this is Comey and Hillary Clinton were working together. It actually comes out and proves that, no, Hillary Clinton wasn't working with Comey. Comey cost Hillary Clinton the election, and there were some real procedural mistakes made by Comey and the rest of the FBI when it came to Hillary Clinton, which ended up costing her the election. Now, and also there does seem to have been, we found out that a laptop was given to Devin Nunes by someone in the FBI that had a bunch of classified information. And now Rudy Giuliani has basically said he was interviewed because he had a close relationship with the New York FBI office, an office which apparently had a ton of pro-Trump people in it that apparently there's a decent chance that he might have gotten some information as well. And the reason we know about this is he told us himself. So he's not very good at law.
Well, Rudy is just a lot of fun, isn't he?
Yes,
I mean, because you just don't know what's going to be said. My favorite was where he now comes out and says, oh, yeah, last week when I made a big deal about Mueller should just shut down the investigation, yeah, I didn't really mean that. And then when he's pressed on it, he goes, well, you know, I'm just defending my client. I'm not a sucker. Okay, here's the only issue. Are we supposed to take you seriously at any point, or are you just sucking up oxygen? And the thing is, in order to be – now the reason he's brought in, Matt, is to be an attorney, yes, but because he's the attorney, he then doesn't have to disclose what the president tells him because of the lawyer-client privilege. So Rudy's really there as a sounding board for the president, just a confidant that can be trusted, but he's also very glib. He's also very good in public speaking, so they send him out. But in order for that to work, he has to have some level of credibility. Well, when you go on and then literally just say, I was just funning you, you know, how are we going to trust anything that he says? He has no value as a spokesperson at that point.
By the way, we should also mention that DOJ report. Once again, this is Trump's Department of Justice. This is Trump's – he's been saying the entire time this is going to prove that Hillary Clinton and Comey were conspiring against us. The minute we read that thing, and even Republicans – Joe Walsh, I was reading his saying, oh, I guess we really – you know, Hillary Clinton really got robbed here. That report is pretty damning that, you know, on the level, forgetting the Russians. Just leave the Russians out of it for the time being. Just on that level, the FBI's interference into the Hillary Clinton campaign in the election of 2016 had put Hillary Clinton at a dramatic disadvantage, which ended up partially costing her that election. The minute that came to light, did you notice that Trump no longer wants to talk about it? He just called it the crooked DOJ report and walked away from it?
Oh, yeah, then he's all done. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's it's just staggering. You know, the problem with James Comey is multi-layered. You know, you have each side at one point wanting to claim him as one of their own. You remember when he was involved in this to begin with? He started in on this, and the Republicans were saying, hey, he's an honest broker. We are going to get a fair shake.
Yep.
Until he said that there would be no prosecution. Well, then he's a dirty so-and-so. Then he comes back and in essence, severely harms Secretary Clinton's campaign, although failure to go to Wisconsin and Pennsylvania did that on her part. But just stick with what we're talking about. Then all of a sudden, now the Democrats say that he's a horrible person, and the Republicans say he's great. I mean, this is just pro wrestling. If it weren't so serious, you could, you know, hand out a championship belt. But, you know, Comey has a lot of issues, and obviously breaching the protocol is not helpful. Now, what does that have to do with much of what's being discussed today? Don't know. But what's really scary is the fact that you have an FBI director who could come in and kind of clean up, and he's not doing it. Senator Grassley of Iowa, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, he started those hearings yesterday afternoon. Literally, he did an interview with me moments before he went into the hearing room, and he was already fired up about it. But it's a matter of, you know, you have to be able to trust the FBI. And you can tell me it's the thousands of field agents are fine and it's just the head of the monster all you want. Well, somebody's got to clean something up. And the American people cannot have a lack of confidence. I don't care political stripe. You cannot have a lack of confidence in the FBI. We already went through the J. Edgar Hoover years. This is as bad as that, just in terms of weirdness. And you know, does anybody know how to run this agency? And it's really problematic.
Well, and you just saw the Hoover, and that's exactly what it's Hoover without Hoover. And they're trying to run it. But I will also say this, you know, you also have a lot of red meat being thrown at people because the entire strategy for Trump is for him to get off the hook here is to basically label the FBI as corrupt and broken and wrong. I mean, granted, they're not exactly helping their case, but they're also – I mean, when he called – he was on with Ducey that morning. He praised, you know, Kim Jong-un and said, I wish I had people respect me like that. He also made the comment – he was talking about the FBI director and the top leadership and calling them scum. And even Ducey was like, this is your FBI, you're saying. I mean, there is an element here that is – it's, you know, it's working because, you know, it's basically – it's people are not trusting the organization. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, and the problem is the president continues to think that everything he does, not to use the analogy again, but I will, he continues to think everything he's doing is a form of professional wrestling. And so you hurl out names like scum and, you know, Crooked Hillary and all this stuff. You know, I mean, it's just very much problematic, but that's not going to change, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to get in terms of this president of the United States. The question is, how does the public react? Mm-hmm. And again, the best thing Trump can do is to discredit everything from the FBI, just like one news story that's wrong leads to a four-year mantra of fake news. I mean, he knows how to do that stuff. He knows how to manipulate the message. And you have to give him points for it if it didn't mean, you know, bringing down society and world peace and all of these things.
Outside of the Mad Max like hellscape afterwards, he was a dreamboat.
Other than that, you know, it's all good.
Speaking of disgusting things, let's get into the real topic of the day, which is this immigration policy. Now, to be fair, this policy was enabled via the W administration, that the White House could do it. That they basically in the days after 9/11, that, you know, the idea that if a family came to the border, that they could separate kids from the parents. But W didn't do it. Obama didn't do it. There is no Democratic law on the book saying that Trump has to do it. He himself, actually Jeff Sessions, proudly bragged he installed the policy. So basically, the option was on the table, but the other administrations hadn't done it. He is definitively the first president to rip 8-year-olds away from their parents and chuck them into a jail. That is his policy. he seems to be doing it not because it's a deterrent, but because he's trying to be as horrible to these children as possible to try to get Democrats to sign on and pay for his wall. This issue, though, as you can see with the Republicans, they are somewhat terrified of this issue, you know, really torpedoing their chances in this election year.
A couple of things about it. There was a federal court ruling in 1999, so that's the Clinton administration. But again, it's a court ruling, so I mean, I'm just going chronologically. I'm not blaming an administration for a judicial opinion. But what it said was that children could not be held in these detention facilities past a certain number of days. So that's what led to the separation. Now, here's or separation being legal and possible and all of that. Far be it for me to say that Ted Cruz has a common sense proposal here, but let me try. He wants a piece of legislation that says, okay, if in fact you can't have the children in a detention facility more than X number of days, how about we have faster hearings so that the families are not separated? Yes, the Trump administration is trying to force the issue in a very graphic way. And when you have the Republicans saying, okay, I don't care where it came from, if it came from that court ruling, if it came from whatever, we have to pass something. Because now to your point about the election, we could quibble about this, but let's for the sake of argument say that the economy is the strongest point for the Republicans right now as an election issue. Now, you may not think that it's going very well, et cetera, but generally speaking, I would say that is the key positive election issue. But instead, there are some, and the president may be one of them, who says, let's make immigration the key issue of the midyear elections. That is not a winner. I mean, especially since you haven't accomplished anything. So, I mean, this truly is what I'm going to say, stereotypical New York-style, you know, hard-nosed politics. Okay, let's see those images of kids being ripped from their parents, and if the Democrats don't come to the table to pass something, then we're going to say it's on them. I get the strategy on paper. I think it's backfiring, though.
Well, and I tell you what, let's take a quick break here. When we come on back, I actually do want to talk about what the Democrats are doing, because you're right. What the Democrats are, you know, had the potential of doing was looking like their unwillingness to negotiate was part of the cruelty. But the reality is they've actually taken a path which is putting the administration more on its heels by showing up at these facilities and demanding to be let in and being told not to, because that does change the narrative as well. Jeff Stein joining us. We'll take a break. 952-946-6205. Is the phone number. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his Wednesday visit on a Tuesday here because I'm going on vacation starting tomorrow. Jeff, the Democrats, I think you're – no matter what the Republicans and the people that love Trump are always going to blame the Democrats, and that's why they initially floated this lie out that there was this Democratic law in the book that was forcing his hand, which there wasn't. And it's been interesting to watch the response as the media has basically said, wait a minute, there is no law in the book. There is this scattershot of excuses that the administration is purposely putting out there to try to muddy the waters to make it seem like there is no real reason for it, that just Trump has got his hands tied. But as opposed to basically get there and beat and say, unless you completely do what I say, then these kids get separated. What the Democrats have been doing, they did this in Texas, they've done this in New Jersey, now they did it in Florida today, is they're showing up at these facilities saying, I'm a sitting senator, I'm a House member, I want to be let in there, and seeing some rental cop guy from the private company that's running this place have to tell them, sorry, sir, we can't let you in. It's putting even this more on the defensive because it clearly looks like we don't want to show you what in the world's going on inside these buildings. And so it's a smart move by the Democrats, although I don't think their mentality is a political game. I really honestly think most of these people and a lot of, you know, religious people and some of the Republicans too are truly horrified that we're at this point of jailing 8, 9, and 10-year-olds as they come across the border seeking asylum, which is not an illegal activity. But it is a way to defuse the Trump method of trying to basically use a sledgehammer to get his wall funded.
Well, if in fact they're seeking asylum, and again, you know, there are so many different reasons why each individual family is coming. Okay, and the thing that I just really have a problem with is using children as political pawns. I don't like it when it is the Republicans with a zero tolerance policy because they're using the children as leverage to get their way politically. I am sure that some of these office holders who are trying to look inside these facilities have a pure motive, and I'm sure there are others who are looking to make some political hay. I don't like it when it is high school kids who are now touring the country because their school was shot up. I think some of them are being taken advantage of on both sides of the spectrum, not necessarily the same degree. But I'm just saying I'm just so tired of using kids as pawns. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, real live leaders and real live adults could sit down and fix these things without the vitriol, without the name calling. Is there a problem? Then fix the problem. And if the Senate can't put a bill together to, in essence, circumvent that court ruling and get some more efficient processing of hearings so that families can be kept together. Because, again, if you go to a port of call and you say you are asking for asylum, the family is kept together. It is the illegal entry, the non-papered entry, that leads to this very odd situation. Well, if the Senate can't pass a bill, when people on both sides are talking about it, I mean, why are they not stopping everything else to do this?
Well, and I want to be careful here because there are people who have been seeking asylum who have had this happen to them. It's not just undocumented people or people making illegal crossings that this is happening to. It's and this is why Nielsen, the Homeland Security Director, yesterday came up and said, oh, we're now turning people away at the ports because we don't have the facilities. They got caught taking people seeking asylum and separating them from the kids, and now they're trying to play catch up. On behalf of the entire audience, I'll give you one chance because we're running out of time. I'll give you a chance on this.
Yes, sir.
When someone does something racist, that's racist. When I point out, hey, you did that racist, their usual response is, no, you're the racist because you pointed it out. There's not an equality there. There isn't. There is still this thing. And I understand what you're getting at with this, but when you hear the audio tape of the guards mocking the children screaming for their parents, for God's sakes, this is the I don't care the fact that the Democrats are championing, might actually see some political benefit from this. They're trying to stop these kids from being thrown into cages, for God's sakes. That is the problem. Well, and you did, but I just want to make sure that we don't do the both sides thing.
No. And that's why I said two things. One, I am sure there are many who are in there who care about the children. And I also said we're not trying to equivocate these things that are going on. I'm just saying generally I'm so sick of children being pawns in these situations. And again, if leaders can't sit down and fix a problem like this, then none of them deserve to be there. And I don't care how long they've been there or who they are. You've got a problem here that needs to be fixed. And if you can't stop and fix a very clear problem, then I have no confidence in you being able to lead us out of any part, any problem that we have in our country.
Well, and here's to back you up now. When you say, I can't understand why the Republicans aren't doing anything about this, you know as well. I mean, this is the same administration that last year lost, what, 1,600 kids disappeared? You know as well as I do, we're going to hear the story of abuse. And that's going to come because this entire system is – there seems to be very little oversight and just a lot of hiding. And when that case comes out, that's going to get – that would, for me, if I was a Republican and even if I like Trump, I'd be like, this has got to stop because I can guarantee you right now there's no way that this is being controlled.
Well, and they're talking about, well, we're not sure because he might veto the bill. I'm sorry. Have some leadership skills. Pass a bill, and if the president of your own party vetoes it, then you can stand up and say to your constituents, I tried, I will keep trying, now you need to do something about him.
Yep.
But I don't know that I see that happening just yet, and that's what's
happening. Well, yeah, I think the Republicans are going to be in big trouble because of that. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books, Common Good Books. The Floppy Show is his latest book, came out earlier this year. You can find that in Common Good Books as well as TotallyIowa.com. Jeff, I will talk to you, we'll talk to you the week after the 4th of July.
You have yourself an excellent time away.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thank you very much. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us today. It's good because, you know, we had that dreaded 4th of July on a Wednesday. I won't be talking to him on that day. But I will be back a week from Friday. I mean, it's like I said, I got a lot of people coming into town. I'm looking forward to that. We've got a lot of great hosts. Are we just going to run dead air? I mean, that's going to be an improvement, right? I mean, that's dead air.
Yeah, nothing but dead air.
You know, you can podcast that on iTunes, by the way, too. It's just great to sleep by.
I heard that made the top 10 list.
Did it? We'll have some great fill-in guests as well over the next few weeks. And so I appreciate everyone that's – because I always – anytime I go on vacation, I always start getting these messages saying, don't go! Don't go!
Yeah, Matt wasn't canceled. No, he's on vacation.
Oh, they actually asked that?
Some people have occasionally done that when you or Mike were gone. They say, why did you guys cancel them? No, we didn't cancel Matt or Mike.
Have you listened to the show? I mean, come on, really? Is this a debate we need to have? I think that's the case. No, I'll be back. I just got to turn off the politics every once in a while. I did have – I got the countdown list is done for this week, but there won't be a countdown list on the blog, Progressive Citizen X, now for the next 3 weeks. But you know, I need to occasionally step away, go out into the magnificence that is Minneapolis-St. Paul, wrap myself in the greatest city on the freaking planet – for a few weeks and have some fun with my friends in town. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm also going to go up there and harass some bears. But that's a minor point. The most of it is going to be in town here. Have a great 2 weeks. I will be back once again Friday the 29th. We've got a show coming back. Doug Padgett is up next. Until a week from Friday, see ya.